right, slip that in your Bibles. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll make your way there. And down to verse 17 and 18, as we'll just pick up on our thoughts from last week about living holy lives and the motivations that we have to that. Of course, the call to holiness is there in verses 13 through 16. That means there should be a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of obeying as God's children. And the reasons for holiness, the reasons why we choose to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy, of course, is you know, as it says there in verse 17, one of the motivations is realizing that I conduct myself now because there's a Father who judges. And that Father who judges without partiality, He'll do that for all of us. I mean, you know, He sees through everything. You know, His scales are balanced, right? When he makes an assessment, think about this for a moment. His judgment of us, our works, the things we've done, I mean, it's not like the courtrooms here where not all the facts are always presented, right? It's not like the courtrooms here where the judge doesn't always know someone's motive for doing something, right? Our Father, when He judges, He knows all the facts. Nothing's hidden from Him. Our God, when He judges, He knows all the motives of our heart. He knows why we did what we did and why we didn't do what we should have done. I mean, you can't snow Him, right? You can't fool Him. He knows. And He doesn't, you know, give, well, you know, I always think of the Islamic faith. I mean, why would you want to be a woman and be in the Islamic faith? I always wondered about that, right? Or the Mormon faith. They get the short end of the stick, right? But I think about this. God shows no partiality between the genders, between our ages, between the races, because there is really only one human race, right? But anyways, between the ethnicities, there's no partiality with Him. Everyone stands before Him on their own. The judgment that we want today, this social justice junk, right? Everybody, we judge things this way. Horizontally through classes of people, men and women, or the rich and the poor, or a particular, your cisgender or another choice, right? We judge this way oftentimes, our society is. God doesn't do that. He just cuts through the heart of every person the same way. And that's how He judges. And it's the same standard of measure. The lawgiver has one law by which He judges all things. That rule by which, the ruler rather, by which we are judged and measured is the same consistent rule that the lawgiver gave. And He judges that way. Now listen, that should motivate you, motivate me. Listen, we don't have different standards to live by. We have one common standard which God has given to us. And that's the standard by which we want to live. And that God that gave us and says, listen, live up to this holy standard by which you'll be judged. Praise God, He's not a hypocrite giving us that standard. He's holy, right? He's given us a holy standard to live by. And praise God, I mean, that's the worst thing, right? For someone to say, live up to this standard, and then they don't live up to it themselves. But that's not our God. And what's even more interesting is this: is that standard by which He has given us to live by, as we reverence Him, what we realize is He's empowered us by His Spirit to live up to that standard, not depending on ourselves, not on our abilities, but to depend on Him. In fact, what's fascinating, I'm just going to read this passage over in 2 Peter, what he would say there, over in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power, God's divine power, has, what's that divine power that He's given us? The Spirit of God. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has empowered us. How? Well, He says then, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. The truth that we know about Jesus, the truth that we know about God, God's Spirit now has given us everything we need to live godly lives. We can't make an excuse. He's given us everything we need in life through our knowledge of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit of God, that divine nature that now dwells within us, the Spirit that now, listen, we were sealed with that Spirit when we were saved, Paul would say, or in Romans, Ephesians chapter 1. You're secure in Him. And God's given us that power. It was the new covenant, right? Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And what is the new covenant? I'm going to put my law within them, and I'm going to put my spirit within them. And the spirit will enable them to keep the law. So while we're here, realize that judge that judges us, he judges impartially. And since he knows everything and we can't really fool him, and he's empowered us to do the right thing, let's do the right thing in reverence. Let's conduct ourselves through the time of our stay. I love how he says that. Y'all, we're only here for a little bit. Let's redeem the time. Paul would say it that way in Ephesians chapter 5. Whatever time we have, let's be wise. What is wisdom? It's fear in the Lord. Let's be wise as we live our lives. Let's be wise with the time we have. We're not killing time. You know what we're doing? We're killing the flesh. We're killing ourselves. We're dying to self. That's what we're doing with the time that we have. And as we reverence God, what happens is our life is transformed. Our life is changed, realizing there is a coming judgment. Now, that judgment, again, this isn't the great white throne judgment. You don't want to stand there because you won't have a leg to stand on. That's the judgment of unbelievers. And anyone who stands before that great white throne judgment over in Revelation chapter 20, there is no hope of life, everlasting life there. No, the judgment we're going to have one day is the Bema Seat judgment. God's already forgiven our sins. Praise God. We are made righteous in Christ, in his Son. Our sins were judged on the cross. That's down, by the way, in chapter 2, verse 24. What Christ did when he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we now have died to sins might live for righteousness. You see, Jesus is taking care of our sins. What are we judged for then? Well, did we walk by faith? Did we do what the Father asked us to do? Knowing Christ has paid the penalty for our sins, we're judged on, are we being faithful, doing what God's called us to do? We're going to be rewarded for that. 10 minas, 5 minas, 1 mina, what do you got? Are you being faithful with it? Knowing that there's opportunities that he gives us, not just resources that he gives us, that we want to receive our reward, that judgment seat of Christ. Paul would speak of it over the Bema Seat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Also, Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. This is when a father judges his children, right? His beloved children. And why does he judge? Does he judge to penalize us? No, actually, the idea behind the Greek term there is to judge us in order to find something good. I mean, listen, when we examine our kids' work, I want to praise them. I want to celebrate what they've done. I want to be a proud daddy when my kids say, "Hey, Dad, come check out the work I did for you." I confess sometimes I go out there, man, I don't know, man, it's just my, maybe it's my military training, right? When you had to do inspections and you had to go and inspect your soldiers all the time. If you've been in the military, you didn't want to be on the receiving end of that. I mean, they were nitpicky, right? You have a little strand hanging from your are you going to rappel down that little piece of string hanging off your seam there? And you're like, oh my goodness, give me a break. I'll never forget that colonel looking at me. Son, you got a whisker there. Does this lieutenant not encourage you to shave in the morning? I'm like, oh, come on, one whisker. Sometimes I've done that to my kids. God have mercy on me. Our Father wants us to succeed, y'all. He wants to applaud what we have done, reward what we have done. That's his heart. That's his nature, to judge us and find something good. Not judge us and find something. Oh, you missed this right here. You got this mistake. You got this mistake. You got, whoop, whoop, whoop. He's not like that. Praise God, Jesus is taking care of all that for us. Amen. But in view of the fact, you know, not only that, the Father, he loves us. He disciplines us as his children. He's going to judge our works. We should cultivate this godly fear, this attitude of reverence. Not cringing in fear, oh, he's going to crush me. No. I don't want him to take his hand off me. I want him to celebrate. It's not a fear of judgment. Really, it's just a fear of disappointing him. I don't want to disappoint him. And neither should you. I want to be found faithful. I did, God, what you gave me the ability to do, the opportunity to do, the power to do, the time to do. And I don't have any regrets. I did it. That's how we should live. Now, not just that future, But look in the past. What has Christ done for us? Listen, do you realize we weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from our aimless conduct received by the tradition of our fathers? But we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I mean, one of my motivations is the future. One of my motivations is the past, what Jesus has done for me. He's redeemed me. That picture of redemption right there, that word for redeemed, the Greek word emphasizes we've been bought back like a slave. There we stood on the slave block of sin. We were in bondage. We were chained. We had no hope. Our heads hung low. God, there's no way for me to be delivered. Who's going to pay the price that's required? The price is death. That's the penalty. Christ paid that penalty for you and me. Praise God. Chains are broken. We've been set free. Set free from the bonds of sin. That's why I love Hebrews chapter 12. We haven't gotten there yet on Sunday mornings. We're coming, y'all. We're going through it. We're in 11, okay? We're going to get there in a couple weeks. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Run this race. Don't let the chains that so easily trip you up. We've been set free from that. Let's run this race with endurance because we've been set free. The payment's been paid, the ransom payment. Praise God. You know, oftentimes Moses would tell the people there when they were being had been delivered out of the bondage of Egypt, don't forget your bondage. Don't forget what you were saved from. Why? Well, it's because I don't want to go back to it. Amen? I don't want to go back to that way of living. I've been set free from that. Why would I want to enslave myself again? Why would I want to go back to that and experience that all over? No. Jesus has not used silver. He's not used gold. There's not enough money to pay for our sin and the debt that it has. The only way that payment can be made is to pay the full wage, and the full wage is death. And it has to be a perfect death. It has to be the death of one who is completely obedient in all ways. And that's why what Isaiah says is so precious, right? I mean, all we like sheep had gone astray. All of us. But by his stripes, we're healed. It pleased the Father to smite him. The chastisement fell upon him for our well-being. That's why, you know, over here, it mentions that what Christ did is the Lamb who was slain for us. That what he did dying for us. I mean, notice what it says over in chapter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Praise God. He paid the penalty. He's the Lamb, says there in verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19, the precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You remember when you brought your sacrifice, that's what their requirement was, is they looked through their herds to find the very best, the spotless, untainted, no impurity, no blemish on that little lamb that was. Now you stop and think about it. Could they really find a perfect lamb? No. They had to find the very best one, though, that they bring to God. And even then, I think they had to come and bring it by faith. I hope this is acceptable. God, I this is my best. I hope this is acceptable to you. You know, we have nothing to offer God. He gave the very best for us. I'm always mindful of the faith of Abraham. We'll talk about it on Sunday, actually, when he climbed up that mountain, Mount Moriah. Remember, he told his son, hey, he told his slaves, hey, listen, his servants, hey, we're going, me and the lad here, we're going yonder over there. And in 3 days, we're going to come back. And, you know, and that's when, you know, Isaac said, Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? I love what Abraham says. God will provide for himself the sacrifice. And so with fear and trembling, I think Abraham climbed that mountain. At least that's how Soren Kierkegaard would emphasize it. Fear and trembling, climbing, giving obedience to the Lord, trusting God, and believing He is the God who can raise the dead, if that's what happens. He had to believe the gospel just like you and me. And he did. And God provided a lamb. Praise God. He discovered that. Adam and Eve saw that. The nation of Israel saw that when Moses had the Passover lamb. And that's why John the Baptist would point and say, hey, behold, there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Wow. Amazing. So it's not just the future judgment, it's the past sacrifice that's been offered. All of this, listen, indeed, he indeed was foreordained, this is fascinating, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Y'all, God knew it all from beginning to end. He had a plan, and Jesus willingly said, Father, I'll do it. From the beginning, God knew. That's why I love in Revelation, it says, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Of course, for God, everything's an eternal present. He just sees it as it is. But for you and I who experience time and know time, and he entered into time, Jesus would come at the right time to offer the sacrifice that is required for sin, God providing. Just as he told the serpent when he cursed the serpent. I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. You'll bite him on the heel, but he's going to crush your head. The gospel wasn't preached to the man and the woman. It was preached to the serpent for what he had done in his curse. Why? Because see, the gospel's more about God than it is you and me. It's about his honor, his holiness, his purity. And God provided that sacrifice, and we get blessed by it. That's the joy to realize tonight. Hey, we're going to stand before him one day. I don't want to disappoint him. So let's live in a way. Let's conduct ourselves in a way I won't be disappointed. And let's live in such a way because of what Christ has done for us in the past. And we have now the Spirit today, as Peter would say, to help us. It's given us everything we need for life and godliness. No excuses. All three persons of the Trinity have done or will do something to help motivate you and motivate me to live holy lives. So let's have a good, well-understood theology tonight for holiness because of who God is and what he's done, what he is doing, and ultimately what he will do. Son, Spirit, and Father, all of them. Motivate us tonight. Amen. Let's pray. God, give us a passion for purity. Peter would say, may we be that pilgrim priesthood that pursues purity. Lord, what is it? Not a purpose-driven church, a purity-driven church. Let us be that kind of people, Lord. Distinguished, Lord, even as Peter will say later in 1 Peter, when they see your behavior, Lord, may you suffer not for doing evil, but for doing good. And may that be an opportunity for us to give an apology, a defense of the faith, why we believe the way we do. God, let our beliefs, what we believe about you, Father, what we believe about your Son, what we believe about your Spirit, Lord, may that motivate us tonight to live the lives we should live, bring glory and honor to you. Especially to you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice you gave on our behalf. And the potential you've given us now to do precisely this. So, Father, we pray, guide us this week. Lord, we only got today, so guide us for the rest of the day. And when we awaken in the morning, if we're not woken there into your presence, Lord, help us to live our days on this earth in reverence to you. We love you, and we praise you, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.